Well, good morning. My name's Nate. If we don't know each other, I'd love to meet you at some point. As a church, we've been walking through the book of Colossians the last couple months. And in the next section of Colossians, Colossians 3, 18 through 22, Paul begins to speak to the family. And he talks about different roles in the family. And so for this series, we're going to spend 4 weeks and just kind of double-click on those verses and think about what the scripture says to some different roles that we might have that we may play in our homes and in our families. And so that's what we're going to do in this series for 4 weeks. We want to talk about what does it mean, what does it look like to follow Jesus at home? And so we're going to talk today about children, what it means for children to follow Jesus at home. Next week, we're going to talk about singles. The week after that, we're going to talk about fathers and mothers. And the week after that, we're going to talk about husbands and wives. So that's where we're going the next 4 weeks. Today, we want to talk about our relationship with our parents. So would you open a Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. This is on page 1093 in the Bible that's provided there, if you'd like to follow along with that particular Bible. Talking about our relationship with our parents can be a complex subject. And the reason for that is because there are so many different types of relationships that we may find ourselves having with our parents. For those of you in the room today who are kids and students, that is, you still live in your parents' house, you know that your relationship with your parents can be complex at times, don't you? It's complex because of all kinds of reasons. One of the reasons is your schedule, and you're going lots of different places. You've got lots of different things that you're committed to and that they're committed to. Another challenge is technology. Maybe you would love to connect with your parents more, but they seem to be on their device a lot. Or maybe you would love to connect with your parents more, but you seem to be on your device a lot. Maybe the way that your parents text doesn't make any sense, and they might feel the same way about you. So that makes it hard to communicate with them. Also, you know, if you live with your parents, that that there are times where you maybe feel misunderstood by your parents. There are times where you maybe feel that you have your feelings hurt by your parents. There are times where you feel pressure from your parents. There are times where you would love to have more independence from your parents. And these are all things that make it complex for you relating to your parents, right? And did you know that when you grow up, those things don't automatically go away? Did you know that? If you're in the room and you've got step-parents, you also know that there are some unique feelings associated with that. Maybe you have a really solid relationship with your stepdad or your stepmom, or maybe it feels kind of just awkward. And I understand that. Maybe you're a young adult in the room and you're learning to relate to your parents now as an adult. And there may be things about that relationship that are really enjoyable to you, that you really respect. Maybe you really enjoy getting your parents' take on some of the adult decisions that you have to make. But then on the other hand, there are times where learning to relate to your parents in this new way is challenging. And maybe you don't always respect the way that they have done things or the way that they would want you to continue to do things. And so that creates some tension between you and your parents. Maybe your parents have passed away. And so even this subject alone causes just some sadness as you think about your parents. You miss them. And maybe you still have deep emotions connected to them. And you think about certain milestones that you will eventually face or that your kids will come to themselves. And it's just, this subject is hard because you miss them. You wish that they would be here for those things. Maybe there are decisions that you're trying to make right now, and you wish that you could talk to your dad, or you wish that you could talk to your mom about it, but they're no longer with you, or they're no longer in a mental state that allows you to have the kind of relationship with them that you would like to have. And so that makes this a complex subject. Maybe you're an adult who has kids now, and you're learning to relate to your parents as grandparents. And on one hand, maybe this is a really enjoyable thing, and there's a lot of blessings that come from that, and you really enjoy having them involved in your family. At other times, maybe this is kind of frustrating, and there are ways that they insert themselves. And as you think about parenting your kid, there are certain things that you would like to shelter them from your parents. And that creates just some weirdness and some anxiety in you, and it also creates maybe some weirdness in the relationship. Maybe you are learning, as you think about parents, the group of people that you think about are your in-laws. And that can, on one hand, come with lots of blessings. On the other hand, it can come with lots of complexities, right? And then for some of us, we have parents who are aging. And this causes you to have to think about a lot of complex questions. How will you provide care? Are they receptive or resistant to the care? Are you and your siblings on the same page about the care? What does this do to your relationship with your kids as you think about caring for your aging parents? And what does it do to your finances to think about these things? The point is, there are so many unique circumstances. There are so many unique types of relationships that we may have with our parents that talking about how we relate to them is, in one sense, complex, because there's so many different ways that we relate. But here's what's interesting, and here's what I want to talk about today. Even in all of the different unique circumstances, the various ways that we may relate to our parents, God gives the same command to everyone about how we relate to our parents. Isn't that interesting? That in all of the unique circumstances, God still gives the same command. What I want to do today is look at this text and see what that command is, talk about why God gives that command, and then talk about how we might apply it in our unique circumstances. So let's take a look in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Paul writes and he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Who is Paul talking about when he says children? And I think that the answer here is speaking specifically to those who live under their parents' authority. So this refers to those who are not yet adults responsible for providing for themselves or providing for their own family. So this first command is given to kids and to students. And so if you're in the room today, and that's you, you still live with your parents, and you're not an adult, then this command is directed at you. It says, children, here's what you're to do. You're to obey your parents. The word obey means to listen and follow instructions. So Paul says, children, you're to obey your parents. You're to listen and follow your parents' instructions. Obedience is doing what they ask you to do and not doing what they ask you not to do. Obedience is about your actions. It's the decisions that you make. It's a choice to listen and follow. And Paul qualifies this. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean to obey your parents in the Lord? The little phrase "in the Lord," I think, means that this is something that you do as you go about following Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And so as you try to follow Jesus, One of the things that following Jesus requires of you is obedience to your parents. As followers of Christ, we are to be Christ-centered in how we live. We are to acknowledge Christ in all the areas of our life. We're to bring all of our life under Christ's authority. And so this means how we think, how we talk, how we do our work, how we use our money, how we use our bodies, and how we relate to others at home, at school, at work, the kind of teammates that we are. All of these things are meant to be lived under Christ's authority. And so as we submit ourselves to Christ, as we follow Christ, Paul says, if you're a kid living in your parents' house, you obey your parents. Part of how you follow Jesus is by obeying your parents. And then he gives us a little reason for this. Verse 1, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, because here's why. Don't you love when somebody gives you the reason for the rule? Here's the reason. Because this is right. Now, that's not a very convincing rule, is it? Like, oh, great, it's the right thing to do. That's only a little better than I told you, so, right? But Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, and here's why. Because this is the right thing to do. This is how the world is supposed to work, Paul's saying. In Colossians chapter 4, it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Here's the principle that I think is being highlighted here. There is a higher authority than your parents. If you're a kid or a student in the room, you should hear that. There is a higher authority than your parents. Parents, though, are the first authority in a child's life. God is honored. The way that you honor the higher authority than your parents, God is honored, God is pleased when we obey the authorities that he's placed in our lives. And so for children, one of the ways that we live a Christ-centered life is we obey our parents. And so in this command to children, let's also have a quick word to parents. The fact that this command exists means that obedience has to be taught. It has to be learned. A child is expected to follow this command before they can pick up a Bible and read it for themselves. So where are they supposed to learn it? Where is a child supposed to learn that they should obey their parents as part of following God, the highest authority? And the answer is from their parents. Parents have a responsibility to teach their kids to obey. And this is why in both Ephesians and Colossians, right after the children are told to obey, there's a word given to the fathers. Here in verse 4, it says, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. In other words, parents are responsible for how they treat their kids. So the command is not just given to kids, you better obey your parents, and they're in charge, and whatever they say goes. But parents are actually accountable to God for how they steward the authority that they have as parents. And so one of the things that we ought to do as parents, I think, is take up our responsibility to teach our kids to obey. So let me ask you, if you're a parent, are you teaching your child to obey? Courtney and I are realizing as young parents how important this is and how so often our tendency is to try and satisfy the desires of our kids rather than train our kids to obey. But part of our job is simply to help our kids learn how to listen and follow instructions. Part of raising responsible kids who grow up into responsible adults who treat others with respect is teaching them to obey us as their parents. And not only as parents do we teach them to obey, but we also teach them what to do when they fail to obey. Because as parents, we can also be honest about the fact that we fail to do the things that we are called to do, right? And so part of raising your children in the training and instruction of the Lord is not only teaching them to obey, but also teaching them what to do when they do not obey. And what should they do? They should take responsibility. They should seek forgiveness. And they should seek reconciliation. They should take responsibility. They should own up to the fact that you're right, I did not do what I was told to do. They should also seek forgiveness. I did not do what I was told to do. Instead of sharing with my sister, I hit my sister. So let's seek forgiveness for that. And let's also seek reconciliation. Let's try to make it right. As parents, we have a responsibility to try and teach our kids to obey and what to do when they don't obey. And why can they have confidence as they learn what to do when they don't obey? And it's because we're teaching them to obey in the Lord. And what is there in the Lord? There's forgiveness. There's reconciliation. So, even in the command to children, there's also a responsibility for parents. But here's what's interesting. What Paul does next is show that children obeying their parents actually flows out of a bigger and broader command to honor our parents. Obedience is for children who are still under their parents' authority, but honor is for everyone. Here's what he says next. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Verse 2. Honor your father and mother. And here he's quoting from the Ten Commandments. This is the fifth commandment. And he says, this is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3, so that it may go well with you and that you may live, that you may have a long life in the land. Paul says the reason that children are meant to obey their parents is because everyone is meant to honor their parents. And one of the ways that a child honors their parents is by obeying them. What does it mean to honor someone? Honor is an attitude of respect. It's treating someone like they're important and valuable. So children obeying their parents is built on a larger principle. That means that obedience is about your actions. But actions alone is not what God is after. God is after your heart. So you can obey your parents and not honor your parents. Obedience is meant to flow from a bigger, more important principle that we honor our parents. And the way that we know that this is given to everyone and not just children living in their parents' house is because of where this command comes from. In the Ten Commandments, God is instructing all the nation of Israel to do these things. And so adults were included in the command to honor their father and their mother. Isn't it interesting that in God's 10 laws that he's giving to summarize how the nation ought to conduct themselves in ancient Israel, that he includes honor your father and your mother? I'll be honest. Initially, when I think about the Ten Commandments, I'm like, God, don't waste one. You've only got 10. Do we really need to say honor your parents in the top 10 things? I mean, lying, stealing, I understand that. Adultery, don't murder. It all makes sense to me. But honor your parents. Why does God do that? in the Mosaic context, the nation of Israel receiving the law from Moses, this was originally given as a promise. That's why Paul says this was the first commandment with a promise, verse 3, so that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life in the land. God promised the people that if they honored their father and their mother, that they would live in the land, that they would flourish in the land that he had promised, the promised land. But if they disobeyed this command and they dishonored their parents, that it would lead to chaos and eventually to exile. What was a promise to them is a principle to us. And this, I think, is the reason that God gives the command. It's this larger principle that if we learn to honor our parents, all kinds of other things will fall into place. If we learn to honor our parents, all kinds of other important things in society fall into place. If we learn to honor our parents, then we become the kinds of people who can honor our neighbors. We become the kinds of people who can honor our spouse. We become the kinds of people who can honor our teachers and our coaches and our principals. We become the kinds of people who can honor our employers and our boss and our coworkers. We become the kinds of people who can honor our governing authorities. As a general principle, learning to honor our parents leads to a society of respect and eventually to flourishing. So children are to obey their parents, and all of us are to honor our parents. With all the unique circumstances that may exist in your relationship with your parents, the thing that God tells everyone to do if we're going to follow Jesus is we're going to honor our parents. Part of living a Christ-centered life is learning to honor our parents. So how do we honor our parents? What does it look like to follow Christ and honor our parents? First, let's be clear about what this text does not command. What God does not command children or those with adults with parents. First, God does not command agreement with your parents. God does not command admiration of your parents. He doesn't command trust of your parents. He doesn't command deep affection for your parents. Listen. If you are in an abusive situation, it is not dishonoring to tell the truth and get help. In fact, this is actually the honorable thing to do. If you are being required to do things that are sinful or irresponsible, or if you are unsafe, please talk to someone about that. Talk to someone that you do trust about that. God does not require agreement, admiration, trust, and deep affection for your parents. But even in difficult circumstances, he does call us to honor our parents. In order to have help with that, I want you to think about two things. First, think about the very first people who received this command to honor their father and their mother. Who were they? They were a group of people in Israel who were being told to honor their father and mother. And in just a few weeks, they had parents. The people who were being told to honor their parents had parents who were going to build a golden calf. The very first generation responsible for obeying this command to honor their father and mother had parents who would eventually miss out on the promised land because they didn't trust or follow God. Which means that honor for your parents, and this is true for anyone, honor is not contingent upon your deep admiration, your deep trust, your deep affection for someone. It's possible to honor people, even people who are failures. That's the first thing to think about in light of this command. The second is this, that Jesus himself, the sinless Lord, had sinners for parents on earth. And do you know what he was called to do? Honor them. Now imagine the dynamics in that home. But the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus was honoring and obedient to his parents. That means that it's possible to honor even those that we disagree with, even those that we lack admiration for, even those that we struggle to trust. And isn't this what the gospel says? That even as we have dishonored God, how does God respond to us in his son Jesus? He clothes us with honor rather than shame, even though we're sinners. And he does so in the person of his son Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead, so that we could have new life. And it's in light of Christ and what he has done that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. It's in light of what Christ has done that we are to honor our father and our mother. So, what might this look like to honor our parents? To close today, I just want to share a few ideas. First is obey them with an asterisk. The asterisk is, if you are still under your parents' authority, if you're not an adult, then one of the ways that you honor your parents is you obey them. Here's some questions that you can ask yourself. Do your actions demonstrate that you live under your parents' authority? Here's a really important question for you. Are you giving your parents reason to trust you? Are you giving your parents reason to trust you? One of the ways that you build trust with your parents is you obey them. You become the kind of person who's expected that they're going to do what we ask them to. And this actually becomes one of the doors to more freedom and independence. Second, what might it look like to honor our parents? Pray for them. Pray for God's blessing on them and pray for their specific needs. Number three, thank them. Thank them. How could you express appreciation for their contributions or their admirable qualities? What have you learned from them? Have you told them? What's something good that you've experienced because of them? What's something that they've done for you that stuck with you? Tell them. Thank them. This is a way of honoring them. Number four, speak well of them. Honor them in how you communicate with them and honor them in how you speak about them. In your communication with them, do you actively listen to their thoughts and to their feelings? Isn't it easier at times to do that with a friend or a coworker, even if you disagree about serious things? Isn't it easier to do that with them than it is with your parents? And yet part of honoring our parents is being good communicators with them, listening to them. Do you make an effort to understand their perspective even if it differs from yours? How do you handle disagreements or conflicts with them? You can choose to honor your parents in how you communicate with them. And you can choose to honor your parents in how you speak about them. Now, you do not have to lie when you talk to others about your parents. You can express your disappointment, your hurt, your frustration. But you can also do so with a spirit of compassion rather than judgment, and humility and gentleness and respectful language. You can choose to be honoring in how you talk about them, even as you're honest about the ways that they've hurt you, the ways that you disagree, or the ways even that they failed you. Number five, you can honor your parents by forgiving them. You can forgive them. Forgiveness is not only a gift that you can give to someone, but it's also a gift for you. You can actually be free from the bitterness that will eventually destroy your own soul. And this is another thing that we are called to as followers of Jesus. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ." One of the ways we can honor our parents is by forgiving them. And finally, we can honor our parents by serving them. You can serve them. If you still live with your parents, ask yourself this question: is the house a better place because you're there? Is the house a better place because you're there? Now, I'm assuming that was a dad. Just keep in mind Ephesians 6:4. Is the mood and the vibe of the house a better place because you're there? Are you considerate of your parents' boundaries and preferences? Are you helpful with the chores like yard work and laundry and cleaning the house? Can I be honest with you? After I first graduated from college, I went back and lived with my mom and my stepdad for almost a year, just as I was working my first job and saving money and whatever. And one of the things that I look back on with regret is that I was not a helpful tenant in their house. I did occasionally mow the yard, but I didn't take an active role in being a helpful presence in the house. And that would have been an easy way to honor them. Now, I don't know that they look back on that season with like lots of just, oh gosh, what a terrible. I don't know that they look back on me like that. I hope they don't. But I know that I wasn't consciously thinking, how can I be honoring to them? How can I serve them? That's not what was on my mind. If you live with your parents, how could you serve them? As your parents begin to age, how can you serve them? Are you taking responsibility for them? How is your attitude toward them? Are you viewing this as a way of serving the Lord? There are two people in our church right now that are doing such an excellent job of applying this principle. One of them is a woman whose mother is aging and has gotten sick and needs just a lot more care. And this woman is taking on that responsibility to make sure that her mother is cared for. Another is a son who is caring for his widowed mother. And in both cases, they are doing so at a cost to them, both to their freedom, to their finances, to the stage of life that they're in, and some of the just dreams that they have for themselves. But in both cases, they're doing it at a cost to them. But in both cases, they're doing it consciously because they believe that this is how they can honor the Lord first and foremost. This is what they are called to as followers of Jesus, is what these two believe. And that is really the heart behind this whole subject. Is followers of Jesus are people. What it means to be a church is to be a group of people who honor one another, even when it's not deserved. Because that is what God has done for us in his son, Jesus. And so we want to be people who show honor to everyone, Romans 12 says. And we start by honoring our father and our mother. Let me pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us with this. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would be active now. I pray that you would give us wisdom to know what to do with what we've heard today. Give us the strength and the courage to do it. It's in Jesus' name that I ask. Amen.